Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You guys ever just kind of zone out when you hear an accent from a female that you like?
Yeah, I'm going to stay here in the United States and tell you that I like the Midwestern.
What?
Wait, hold on. That sounded like you're going Brazilian, like eye poppy there for a second.
No, not eye poppy, just the oh.
Oh, you betcha.
You want some popo.
They're magically delicious.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, Clint Capella's going to join us. 6:20. He's going to stop by the show. Big win last night for the Hawks, by the way. And Mike and I were saying this, 127-112. It wasn't even close. We were up 27 in the first half. I turned it off, 72-48, 49, or whatever it was at the half, and said, right, I'll come back in the fourth quarter because I wanted to see, Mike, if we were going to blow it. Obviously, we didn't. But it was an all-around good game last night for our Hawks, and I want to build on it. I will say they responded last night after a terrible loss against the Cavs in a game we gave away. They came back last night and played the way I wanted them to, and so I feel good about that.
Yeah, man, Gallinari, it's funny because you and I were calling him out. I was like, this guy's a zero in sneakers, and I heard Andy Bunker talking about it, and I'm not sure if Dano was listening, but unbelievable. Matter of fact, I mean, it's kind of funny, but if you go back and look at the game, Carl, with about 5 minutes left in the second quarter, for whatever reason, Lloyd Pierce like calls a timeout and actually cools his own guy. Now, again, his logic was, well, Gallinari's really been running some minutes and we're going with a hot hand, but still, I was like, why don't you let this guy, you know, keep going? Either way, great to see Trey doing his thing, you know, and we mentioned it. That's the thing, when you've got the kind of depth where we were supposed to have going into this season, if one guy's got an off night, then other guys will step it up. But Gallinari was just on fire and sets the franchise record for 10 threes.
And it was a franchise record for the team, 23 overall. So it was a fun game, man. And after the way we felt and were so, you know, upset the other day about the way we lost to Cleveland, all right, we can calm down a little bit and let's see what happens against Oklahoma City. And before we roll into the All-Star break, which is going to be the March 7th weekend, but we still have three games next week as well. So let's just build on it. We'll see where it goes. By the way, Gallinari, he's not going to give you 38 every night, but he can certainly give you 20-25, Mike. This is what we wanted to get from him and the veteran scoring ability.
That's the thing, man. You know that this team is going to have, like every other team in the NBA, deal with injuries. DeAndre Hunter's a huge one. We just hope they can become something. Look, the Celtics had a long road trip themselves. They're in the middle of a back-to-back. That's a them problem. Their guys are jammed, whatever. We're looking to build some momentum, and Lloyd Pierce even said himself, let's hope this can we get something going before and after the All-Star break where we're winning 5 out of 6, you know, and we can actually feel good that this team is going to make the 8th seed.
Make sure you follow us on Twitch, man. We're on there every day, ATL929 The Game. Appreciate the interaction. A lot of guys chopping it up there. You can find us across all social media platforms, including the Gram. It's all for the Gram. Dukes and Bell 929 and on Twitter, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929 and this radio station. Follow us to see what's going on, man. 929 The Game. Chris, let's get to the top three. Top 3 at 6 brought to you by New Realm Brewing Company's Hoptropolis IPA. Tropical allure, juicy hop bliss. Pick up Hoptropolis IPA wherever you get your favorite beers or at newrealmbrewing.com. Speaking of the Hawks, what did Gallinari have to say after going off for 38 last night?
I always said it since the beginning, when you have a new group, there is always going to be ups and downs. But the most important thing is just, you know, stay focused and play the game plan that we got and play in our strength every time. And just being focused on executing the game plan offensively and defensively. And the most important thing that we haven't been able to do night in and night out is to play for 48 minutes. To win an NBA game is tough, and to win, to have a winning record in the NBA is tough. And so to do that, you need to play for 48 minutes. You cannot have any let up.
And we didn't last night. Can we hear Trae Young talking about Gallo's big night? This is Trae. Trae, by the way, had his own big night, 33 points. Trae jumped out, 17 points in the first quarter, and just got him going. I mean, that was the key, I thought, to get to this blowout. Here's Trae Young.
Yeah, I mean, it changed a lot. I mean, just the way, if he gets going, guys are obviously going to attract to him a little bit more too. So anytime someone else gets going, especially Gallo gets going like he did tonight, it brings a lot of attention to you. So it only opens up more lanes and gaps and other things for other guys.
And we were worried about John Collins with the concussion. Was he going to go? He did, and gave you a double-double, 14 and 11, so in 25 minutes. So they were a little delicate with his time out there. And you talked about it. Gallinari, man, heating up. Isn't it fun? And it was really kind of cool. I love that they got Stinger working with Dominique and Bob Rathbun on the television side. But the Stinger and then Nico, like, oh, he's feeling, they want to be like, blank,
Right, right.
It's like, but it's like, it's just really fun. It's like, indeed. Yes, he is feeling it. It's like, how about that, Nick? He is on fire. Pasta bolognese for another three. But anyway, yeah, it was a great night. It was fun to watch, as you said. It was really, I did admittedly tune in later just to see that they hadn't screwed this thing up and blown the lead, which they did not.
Hey, man, we'll see what they do against Oklahoma City. 8 o'clock tip tomorrow. And tomorrow's hashtag Dukes and Bill tailgate at home. We'll tell you what we got cooking. Meanwhile, let's hear from Brian Snicker on Christian Pache. Everybody's talking about how good he looks right now at spring. Again, we're just hearing the reports, seeing what's going on, or at least, hearing what's going on from down there. This is what our manager, Brian Snicker, says.
I thought he handled himself unbelievable. Really, testament to him and the work he did at the alternate site and staying ready. And it's a rough situation to put him in and big kind of the big stage. And even now, I mean, he looks like a different guy now just coming to camp over what he did a year ago.
So we believe, again, we hope that he's going to be the starting center fielder. Now you say, does it matter? I think it does. Mike, I think the more bats, the more time he has up here, the better he's going to be. If you send him down for whatever reason, let's just say it happened, and Ender starts the season, and 6 weeks later we see, Christian Pache, how does that play out? Well, listen, I need him at the end of the year to be playing his best baseball. But the fact is, baseball is a game of repetition. The only way you get good at at-bats is being up against major league pitching and having those at-bats up here. So I'm hoping that he ultimately wins the job coming out of spring.
As we said, I think Dave O'Brien made the argument. Yes, statistically, yes, it was sub 200, but he actually had some big at-bats and some big moments in the postseason when he was pressed into service. Had a couple RBIs, but this is time for him to shine. This is go time now for Pache. You and I have been talking about it for so many years now. It's our chance to see what this guy can do. Let's hope that, the progression, as we always talk about, from double to triple. Now, Carl, he goes down there. He's working. If Chipper's got some pointers. Chipper's apparently working with Austin Riley. Everybody's loving having Chipper around there. But, again, come out, you're ready to go, and now you are the center field, and you take that job over, and you never relinquish it, and if you need a night off, yeah. And it'd be great if Ender can do his thing, if Ender can get above 200. But this is the guy we've been hearing about. Now it's his time to shine. You would agree? And I don't believe, and everyone seems to think, the Acuna thing with the salary control arbitration, the years of service, I don't think they'll do that same thing with Pache. I think Pache will be ready to roll.
All right, so today a couple of football things have happened, including Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. He has not demanded a trade, but his agent, his name's Mark Rogers, basically came out and said, but if we were to get a trade, here's where Russ would want to go. And he names, Mike, the Cowboys, wait for it, Saints, Raiders, or Bears. Now, Russell's been frustrated. We know about the comments, that he made on the Dan Patrick Show. There seems to be some kind of riff. Or maybe a misunderstanding about, how much he is going to be able to influence things offensively. They hired a new coordinator basically without consulting him. So he's just going through these motions. But now we know at least four teams, Mike, that he'd be open to being traded to. And by the way, he does have a no-trade clause, so he'd have to okay that.
Right. Now, isn't that, as we said earlier in the show, the definition of passive-aggressive? My client does not want to be traded. But I happen to have a list of teams you would be interested in if you were going to make a trade. So, yeah, I mean, Lord, in the love of God, not the Saints, okay? We don't need Russell Wilson, you know, seeing him twice a year. I don't need that, okay? I don't know where this goes. I would think at the end of the day, the Jets have got, you know, all the, you know, they got the picks, they got the money, there's all sorts of things. I would just love to, I'd love to see Russell Wilson with the Jets. You know what I mean? A big star in a big city, Ciara would be happy. You know what I mean? Do you have any skin in this game? Do you think at the end of the day, he's not going anywhere, but where would you like to see him?
No, I think all of these teams are interesting. The Bears is the least interesting only because I'm like, really? What's the connection there? Listen, the Cowboys are the Cowboys, and as much as people hate them, they're still one of the most watched teams in sports, period, right? So you go there, you're going to be a brand. It made Tony Romo famous. It's making Dak Prescott famous. It's just being the Cowboys quarterback. Saints are interesting because I think he sees what we see, and that is Sean Payton doing things with less and allowing the offense to flourish around players and their skill sets. So I think that's interesting. The Raiders, is there a Gruden connection there with him and Gruden? The Bears thing, I don't get, Mike. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a – I don't want to see him as a Saint. I'll tell you that. I don't want to see Russell Wilson in our division.
Right. Anyway, guys, Carl and I had this debate during the Strong Arm story brought to you by John Foy earlier. Do you think that this is now the shape of things to come, that more and more quarterbacks are on the move? Stafford, I mean, it starts with Stafford in Detroit. The Rams are ready to move on from Goff, and they found a ready partner. You know, it's a uniqueness of Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. I still think it's the exception, not the rule. But this Deshaun Watson thing is going to be the ultimate soap opera. The Houston Texans are so dead in the water right now. They don't have a first or second rounder this year. They got a quarterback who just told his coach, I'm sorry, man, you seem like a nice guy. I'm not playing. But this is now, Carl, it's a war of the wills, right? It really is. Do you believe that Deshaun Watson will not participate in any way with Texans offseason, and then it's going to we'll be into week one or two, and then he's going to be shoehorned into a team? I think most football fans would love to see Deshaun Watson starting his season with another team, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I know that, you know, there are cap implications, but it's not even what the win situation was. If you trade Watson, it's going to cost you $21 million cap hit. Wentz was 33.5 for the Eagles. So what I'm telling you is, and you're getting a better player, by the way, in my opinion, okay? So if you're trading Deshaun Watson and you're the Texans, you go, man, we're going to take a cap hit. I think Antonio Brown costs the Steelers more than this.
Right.
Okay?
It's a good point.
So the idea that it's out of the question, it costs too much money, there are already other situations that we've seen around the league where either lesser players or players that probably, you know, he should be costing you as much or more, that's not the case. So this is not out of the realm of happening. I do think he's not playing there.
By the way,
I said that when we started the show today, and then this came out.
And Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, funny story, says that Nick Caserio, they're not even answering the phone call. So you literally leave a message at the beep. Hi, this is the Jets. We'll give you a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 1 next year for Deshaun Watson. They're literally not even answering calls on this deal.
All right, man. Coming up, Clint Capela. I love this dude. They don't call a play for him, and he just balls out. We'll talk to our Hawks center.
The most important story of the day.
It is Dukes and Bell. One of the other things we were talking about today, and I just want to kind of rehash this as we've been talking about the draft. Sigmund Bloom came on footballguys.com earlier in the show, a really good guest today. And Brian Fisher came on from Athlon Sports. We were talking with him about positions and all that stuff with the draft. We're waiting to hear from Clint Capela here in just a second. But, Mike, we were talking about this with Bloom, Mr. Bloom, from footballguys.com. And talking about, you know, the whole quarterback thing. And you know, again, there's many ways to go about this. I still think you have the right idea, though, when you talk about, hey, how can we get the most out of this draft, right? And that's just acquiring more picks.
Right. And that's it, man. In a perfect world, baby, we get that quarterback and we get some picks where we can have our cake and eat it, too. Like our next guest, who's been a rebounding machine, providing the oop in the alley and the oop, and Clint Capela. Carl joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline.
Yeah, man, I was saying, Clint, dude, I love your game simply because they don't run any plays for you. And I look up every night and you got 20 and 15, and I'm like, okay, Clint, keep doing your thing. Welcome in, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good win last night. I guess the question for Hawks fans is, like, what happened in Cleveland, bro? What was that all about?
Man, yeah, it happened some nights like that. We had control over the whole game. At the end, they're coming back. They had some good looks. And, I mean, yeah, we missed a shot and they score on the other end.
Well, bro, you've been doing a great job. You're putting the work in. And by the way, not for nothing, we've been lobbying for you to be in there late in the game because we want to see you get those rejections, man. You are rim block. You are rim protector, man.
I mean, that's what I love to do. I mean, yeah, blocking shots and having rebounds. It's a pretty tough job for other teams to stop me from doing that.
So, Clint, let's. Are you 100% when it comes to the end of games? And I ask that because we've had, you know, various comments from folks saying, hey, the reason why Coach Pierce doesn't have him in there is because he's not completely healthy. What's the situation there? Does health have anything to do with the end of game rotations?
I don't know. It's just whatever. Some games, it's been some games where I finished them. So it's just the decisions that they're making. And all I can do is just be ready if my name is called to go out there and help my team win.
Right. It's Clint Capela having an all-star caliber year for his guys here on the Hawks and the WaitForIt.com hotline. The big picture, Clint, obviously you came here last year. We didn't make the bubble. Is it this year all the injuries? I mean, just from the outside looking in, it looks like we haven't really seen our full team out there on the floor this year yet.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely right about that. The thing about this NBA season is that you have to deal with injuries during the season. I think every NBA team has to go through that. And this is how you got to build your character. And this is how the team builds their own character. And, you know, you just have to fight through it, man. There is no choice. And we're going to have those guys back. We definitely need them. And I'm sure they're going to be back in no time. So hopefully we can hold on until they come back.
It's Clint Capela, guys, late night disc jockey as well, as you hear by the voice. And Clint, I want to ask you about leadership on this team because, you know, we kind of take it for granted that we've got some veteran players now, including yourself, that necessarily weren't here when Trey and John first came together. So who's the vocal leader and who's the guy? Even if it's you, I don't know. I'm asking the question, but is it you or someone else that really
I mean,
is?
Yeah, it was,
it is?
Yeah, there's a couple of vets. I know, like, yeah, I mean, defensively on the court, I'm definitely the guy who's talking behind the defense. And whenever we're not doing our job defensively, I like to definitely say something on the bench or on the court. And, yeah, I mean, Solomon Hill, for the whole year since he got here, it's been tremendous for us, and with his voice, and it's been really, really huge for us.
It is Clint Capela with us, guys, here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hawks got the night off, and then we got the Thunder coming up. Clint, by the way, leading all NBA players in rebounds, by the way, number one rebounder in the league. Clint, do you practice the alley-oops? Is that something in practice, you and Trey, where he's doing no looks and stuff, or how does that work?
Nah, we don't get much practice time during the season, so it's more about the feeling.
So you just get there, he's looking for the big fella, and you throw it down.
Yeah, just throw it up, and I'll go get it.
So there's none of that, like, you know, when you're playing pickup ball, woo, or yo, you don't even do that, no?
Sometimes, but usually it's just throw it up, man. I got the rest. Just throw it up. I'll figure it out.
I'm going to take care of it. Hey, so John Collins, man, and we've talked a lot about Trey. Tell us about John. You see him. You obviously you're playing.
Man,
with
I
him.
Love John. He's working so hard, man. Every day, every time, like I'm coming the next day to get tested, and like I remember that day I came after the next day after a game. We were supposed to be off. I come in and get tested, and I hear someone lifting in the weight room. Like, oh, I'm like, what? Like, it's early. Who's that? I'm coming. I see John. I'm like, oh my God, JC, man, you crazy? He's just insane. You work so hard. Like, it's just crazy. I just love his motor, man. He's always working hard. He's always ready to just bring some energy. Just whatever the team needs, he's bringing it. And I love that about him.
It seems like we got a good vibe on the team. I know there was a lot was made in the in our article that came out about a team meeting. You've been in the NBA for a number of years. Is this just simple that something that happens over the course of the season? If guys got issues, you just get it all out in the open?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. All the time. I think it's good. Like, the earlier it happens, the better it is, because, like, we can allow to ourselves for the whole season. So, I mean, it's just, yeah, definitely stuff that happens in every team. And the earlier it is, the better it is. So, I mean, it happened really, really early for us. We just had a team meeting, and it was just talking, basically. It was nothing, like, heated or nothing. So it wasn't even that bad, honestly.
Yeah.
I've been through worse.
Okay. I believe you had.
James Harden. You don't have to say anything. Clint, I'll say it for you. Clint Capella joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Hawks back in action tomorrow at OKC. Trae Young, so what do you see? You played with Harden, and you've been with other superstars, so you know what that's like. But what is it about Trae, in your opinion, that makes him special?
Man, he just figured out every night. Like, can you imagine every single night? You know that the whole team has based his defense against you, like, for you. And every night you figure out how to manufacture, like, score, assists, and it's just so hard. And what I see from him is that every night he just figured it out. Like, especially at his young age, to just figure it out that quick. It's just awesome to see, and he has so much more room to grow. So it's just exciting, man. It's just exciting. I'm really happy, like, to be next to him every night and go to work.
And that's the thing. I mean, we've said it, Clint. You've got a job to do. His job is a little bit different, because some nights, as a guy in his caliber, some nights if he's feeling it, he's got to take the shot. Is that the growing process, though, knowing when to distribute the ball and when to take the game over?
Yeah, exactly. It's part of the process. He's really young. He's like 21, 22. So he's definitely going to get there. I have no worries about that, for sure.
Who's the toughest defend for you, man? I mean, you know, the league is full of stars, obviously. But, like, who's a tough guy when you know, all right, I got to bring them a lunch tonight? Because you got to – and by the way, you did a hell of a job on Jokic the other night, bro. I mean, like, seriously. Because he's really their go guy. Yeah, and you know, we talk about how we defended them, and Jamal got his, but I thought you did a hell of a job on Jokic. How do you – who's the toughest guy to defend for you?
I will say definitely the guys that know how to draw fouls, they get on free throw line a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, a guy that really know how to go free throw line, I mean, definitely Trae. And Joel Embiid is really good going at the line every night, drawing fouls. And, I mean, yeah, whenever you're able to have an average as much as 10 free throw a game, you're in trouble, definitely. So this is how those guys are just so hard to stop, because they know how to draw fouls and they're talented. Like, if you don't foul them, so it's, yeah, definitely. So,
is it, yeah, being crafty? I mean, what I think, Clint, maybe I'm wrong on this. You can tell me. I think he's kind of soft sometimes. And I'm like, Embiid should be dominating more. You've played against him. You've been out there. Is he crafty? What makes him difficult?
It's his skill. It's really skill. Yeah, it's definitely more about his skill set than the toughness. Like, it's really skill. Shoot the ball. It's really, like, really tall, really skilled. Of course, he has a big body, so yeah. When you first see him, you think that he's gonna bully you, but not at all. That's not his game. His game is really, like, to have the soft touch shot, just like mid range, draw fouls, pump fake, for footwork sometimes. So that's more his game.
To play down in the paint and to do what you do. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, guys, it's Clint Capella with us here on Dukes and Bell, number one rebounder in the league. When you play in Europe, you grew up, I mean, playing in France, it just seems like that's a physical game over there. Like, the refs, no blood, no foul over there. Did that set you up?
Yeah. Oh, man. That's way, over there, that's way, way different. Yeah, you have guys that literally pulling your jersey down. Like, whenever I used to run on fast break, they pull your jersey, like, refs. They don't even call it sometimes. You're like, what's going on? Like, what are we doing? Like, and you come in the NBA, you barely touch the guy, it's a foul. They're not even sure, but they don't call it, you know? So it's like, wow, like it's almost like two different type of sport. But yeah, I can tell the difference for sure.
Clint, how do we get better in late game execution? Last night, blowout. Didn't matter. But in these games where, I mean, I think there's been 10 games this year, 7 points or less, maybe even 6 points or less. How do we get better at closing those games out? And what has Coach Pierce said to you guys about those particular moments?
I mean, yeah, definitely. There is a lot of room for us to get better. We have to be able to watch film. We have to be able to watch when we should, like, know where the clock is, know when the ball should go up, what kind of shot do we want to take. And, yeah, even like it really starts like 3-2 minutes in the fourth, whenever it's a tight game. Like, this is when you really want to know when you want to get a shot up, what kind of shot do you want. Like, which guy around you is really hot tonight that can help us. So it's really, every game is really different. So in every game, you have to have that different approach and just try something that you really think that could work. So I think we still have a lot of room to grow in that area. And it will be really, really, really huge for us if we can figure this out.
Right now, we got more than half the season to go. By the way, we didn't even mention DeAndre Hunter. That's a huge loss, man. DeAndre Hunter's a young man who's still learning the game, but he's a big factor too, right?
Oh, yeah. He has the big body. He's tough. He's good offensively, defensively. He's tough, and we definitely miss him, that's for sure.
Well, man, we wish you luck tomorrow. I appreciate you jumping on the show with us. I know we had to push the interview back because you had to go get your work in, but we certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, appreciate it.
And thank by the way, guys. Merci beaucoup. You're going to drop some French on there for the ladies?
Merci beaucoup, ladies and gentlemen. Merci. Merci, les filles.
Bonne nuit. Bonne nuit, Clint. Bonne nuit.
Bonne nuit.
You're killing me right now. Hey, when you go up and you know, in the next few games, you don't have to tell us when. Just scream. Give me that board. Just so we know. It's a Dukes and Bell thing. Give me that board, Clint Capela. All right, man. Appreciate you. Clint Capela, guys. Tomorrow, Hawks, OKC. Mike, let's get to the nice game winner.
Gometa le boule is how you say that in French.
He was laughing. That's funny, man.
No, man. How many times do we get to use French? You know, I got to validate that. He's a good. By the way, our first chance, we only talked to him for like 5 minutes when we first made the deal. Remember last year?
Yeah, I know. Bo was saying had he been on, and I was trying to remember, but I think I was trying to get him to talk bad about James Harden, and he didn't do it. So, yeah.
He laughed, though, when you talked about team meetings. I could imagine. Let me be a fly on the wall for one of those Houston Rockets meetings, man. All right, game one is pretty simple. Earlier in the show, we were joking around, and I said something like about, yeah, I wish I had the time machine. I could have met Cindy Crawford. We were talking about, it came up in conversation. One of our listeners hit us up and said, hey, why don't you talk about your high school crush, or when you were a young kid, your first crush? It doesn't have to be a movie star. You can actually give the name of the girl in high school you had the crush. It made you weak in the knees. Mm. So who was the first crush for you? Some guys, it's like you're about 12. Things start to change in your body, and maybe it's Farrah Fawcett on Charlie's Angels that makes you feel funny. But enough about my childhood, Carl. 404-741-0929. Your first crush. How's that?
I love it. Now, again, does it have to be like a television or movie star? Or can
no, it could be anybody. Could okay. be anybody. Right. Yeah,
right.
man.
Fair enough. All right, good. Let's do it.
Could be Terry Toronto.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
All right, guys, maybe that first day of junior high school. I don't know how it worked for you in Texas, Carl. Where I went to school, we had like four feeder elementary schools that fed to the big junior high school. And so sometimes you met people for the first time when you were like about 11 or 12. And it's like, oh, she lives in my town? So who was your first crush? It could be Farrah Fawcett. Maybe you had that poster. Okay, again, like enough about me. Or maybe it was a certain girl in high school that made you feel funny. Who was your first crush? Who was your first crush, by the way, brother?
So her name was Jackie. She ended up being my first girlfriend. Oh, Jackie. Oh, I'm sorry. So I want to say 6th or 7th grade, somewhere around there. I want to say it was 6th grade because 7th grade I changed schools. But so long story short, yeah. And you know, back then it was what, holding hands. It was a kiss. I think that was the first girl I learned how to do the special kiss with, Mike.
Oh, you mean the French kiss?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. And I had no idea what the hell I was doing. But yeah, Jackie, man, and what's crazy is with Facebook later in life, as you know, time went on, it was probably 15, 20 years. And she reached out before my mom passed away to my mom and found her and was like, hey, and I got actually a chance to find out what was going on in her life and everything. It was just a really cool thing because her parents and my parents ended up being friends. But then we moved, like I said, and I went to another school and then we never really saw each other again. But it was probably, I don't know, a good 2-week deal, Mike. I mean, two weeks, long time back then.
Young love. Hey, man. All right, let's see what we got. You can drop the name if you want. You're on the radio, bro. Your first crush.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I had two. I had Raquel Welch from Million Years BC on that poster.
Right
and
on.
Then the lady that played Julia. Good God, Diane Carroll. I was
nice.
A diverse kid.
Good
I was
job.
Very diverse.
Good job, Diane Carroll. Good pull right there. By the way, of course, that was Andy Dufresne's poster, Carl, at the end of the run before he finally made his break.
It sure was. Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, man.
The poster he hid the
Yeah,
the
that was the final one. Yeah, I think it started with, I think it was Atlanta. I forget. It was, now I got to go back and watch Shawshank Redemption. Somebody will text what the first couple posters were. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, first one was Jennifer Aniston from Friends, from my celebrity.
Okay. How old were you, by the way? How old were you?
Ah, man, I was probably, about 11, 12 years old.
Okay, okay.
And then had to be Allie Steele in 6th grade. She was 12 years old and had some double B's.
Easy now. Easy, sir. We're talking about a young girl. How dare you, sir? Please. How dare you? Yeah, let's keep this above board. Keep this above board.
I'll never forget him, Mike.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's going on?
Yeah. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
My first crush was Thelma on Good Times. She could get it.
Yeah. I think a lot of guys felt that way, brother.
She was gorgeous. She really was. And at the time, you got to think back. I mean, there were not a lot of, still aren't, black sitcoms that were on and had actresses that you know that you could even imagine in those roles. So, yeah, man, Thelma, I'm with you on that. People forget Janet Jackson was on Good Times.
That's right. It's a great pull. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy boy. What you got?
Hey, man, Al.
Hey,
hey man.
Go get some. What you got?
All right. Caller number one took my Raquel Welch. So I'll go to number two, middle school. My mom had to drive us on my first date to see Love Story. Allie McGraw, baby.
Yeah. Man, Steve McQueen stole her from a big Hollywood producer, by the way, Carl. Allie McGraw was something special back in the day.
Well, I was going to say, and Steve McQueen was a dude.
Dude.
He was
hey,
a
man.
Dude.
I love the scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where, was it, I always forget the guy's last name, the English actor from Billions, Damien, Chris, what's his name?
Oh, you're talking about the redhead guy.
Yeah, he plays Steve McQueen in that. I love that. This is a good job. Yeah, it's a good job.
Lewis,
hey, man.
Lewis.
Damien Lewis. Good pull. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Your first crush was who?
I'm on the radio.
Yes, sir.
No, you're on.
Good. Hey, my celebrity was Farrah Fawcett. I had that poster, and oh man, Charlie's Angels in '76 came on. Man, she was just bad news. And I was about 12 years old. I fell in love with her right off the bat.
Nice.
That's what's up. Wes on Twitter, Mike says, Dukes and Bell. My first crush was Dolly Parton.
Nice.
Said first time I ever heard on radio, I fell in love.
I tell you what, Farrah Fawcett was mine, and Terry Toronto. She was a blonde in my elementary school. Oh, what a, and at the reunions, Carl, she still looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, Northern Italian, beautiful. Always dated the wrong guy. Anyway, hey, man, that was Jill Murphy. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How y'all doing today?
Good, boss.
How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. Let me see. My celebrity crushes. The first one was the old sexy... the sugar daddy chaser, Jack K from 227.
Oh, yeah.
And secondly, My crush, my second celebrity crush is that I'm older now, and I watch the show with my mom's from time to time, the lady who played Jonathan Hart's wife in Heart to Heart.
Stephanie Powers.
Stephanie Powers. Wow. Yeah. Okay. You took me back there. Heart to Heart. Stephanie Powers. That show was on for a long time, too, wasn't it?
Heart to Heart. That's right. He just had a birthday, Robert Wagner.
Did he?
Yeah, just a couple weeks ago. And, of course, should be in jail. Hey, man, you're on.
Jackie 227. She was good, too.
I still don't know what the hell happened with Natalie Wood. You're on the radio, buddy boy. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So I got two real quick, a fictional and a real one. The fictional one, man, when I was a kid, I had a big crush on Winnie Cooper and Danica McKellar, still fire.
Nice.
True enough.
Good job right there. Solid, I will agree with that.
I will agree with that. Yes, sir.
Hey, man. It's Chris, by the way, who was your high school or elementary or whatever? Who was your first crush, Chris?
Yeah, I actually got a little bit of a good story with this one, Redemption. Her name was Marissa in sixth grade, and she never liked me back. I waited all the way until our senior prom. She was in my room. We were partying. I said, hey, you know I had a crush on you since sixth grade, right? And she said, yup. I said, well, it would make my entire high school career if you could make out with me one time. And she did, and it was a great redemption story.
Wow. Well, hold on, Chris. I got to give you some of that.
Good job.
That's all right.
That's the long play right there, fellas.
No doubt about it. He asked on prom night?
Nice.
Wow.
That's right.
That's solid. That could be a one for later in the year, Carl, when we get into like April and May, your prom date. That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, good effort, man. Good job. And ladies, by the way, we always encourage ladies to call. You make up nearly a quarter of our audience. And I don't know, Carl, we had women on the phone all the time. We know they're listening to the research. So, ladies, you can always call. We are inclusive on this program.
Yeah, man. I'd love to hear some of these ladies' first crush. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear those stories. Not in that way. Today's show protected by Mimecast. Nearly 40,000 organizations trust Mimecast to keep them safe from phishing, business, email compromise, risk of ransomware. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's Mimecast.com. Hey, today's email, talking about the quarterbacks, Mike. I guess we really pushed a button with this today with the whole Russell Wilson and the Deshaun Watson thing. So my man Kay Brown says, fellas, Deshaun Watson will not be a Houston Texan when the season starts. He is entrenched with his feelings about where the organization is. I'm not sure what Russell Wilson is doing, but I can tell you guys right now, Deshaun Watson will not be a Houston Texan when the season starts. Okay, if you missed it today, Watson had a meeting via Zoom or whatever with David Culley, who's the new coach, basically said, I don't want to be there. The information got out. That happened Friday. And Russell Wilson, as we've been talking about today, his agent comes out and says, well, we don't want to trade, but if we did, here are four teams we might want to go to. It is weird. It's crazy. I don't know where this all goes, but again, a developing story. Hey, man, let's get out of here and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for Let Me Clear My Throat.
Hey, man, thanks to our guest today. And all these interviews, by the way, online. Big shout out to Clint Capella coming on with us, chopping it up. Hawks back in action tomorrow. We'll talk more about that as they take on OKC. Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. Go check them out, and great site there. And also our man Brian Fisher from Athlon Sports talking some college football draft with us today here on the show. Hey, tomorrow, hashtag Dukes and Bell, tailgate at home. Do not miss it. We'll be telling you what we got cooking. And it's a Friday, man. We're going to have a lot of fun and certainly dive back into a lot of the things that we've been talking about, including the Falcons' big decision has a lot more to do with. Find out what we're talking about tomorrow. Hey, Chris, great job. Bo Morgan, executive producer. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
First off, I want to give a shout out to my wife for keeping the animals off the broadcast for the last hour and a half of the show. Now Ike is ready to go outside, apparently, Carl. Hey, man. Hey, we spoke earlier today in Guy Talk about Hasbro bowing to pressure that Mr. Potato Head or Miss Potato Head apparently was just too much for folks who identify otherwise. Well, guess what? A tweet from Hasbro just dropped, Carl, about 3:37 today. Hold that tot. Your main spud, Mr. Potato Head, isn't going anywhere. While it was announced today that the Potato Head brand name and logo were dropping the Mr., proud to confirm that Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head aren't going anywhere and will remain Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head.
Oh, that's what's up.
And again, just to double down on that, I'm glad to see Hasbro do their part to stop the insanity. We all need and we want to be more inclusive. We want to learn more about other people in our country. But always, guys, how about some perspective and less knee-jerk reactions?
Hey, man, Hawks rain in threes last night on the Celtics. It showed you what the team can be. And this is even without all of our parts in place. Gallinari, big night, but the team, 23 threes last night. Now, do I want to see that every night? No. Will we see it every night? No. But it showed you what we can be. Let's be more of this and less of what we were in Cleveland. And guess what? Nobody's getting fired. We're going to the playoffs, and we'll see where this thing goes. But it's about consistency, Hawks. Consistency. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
no Mr. Potato Head for you, pal.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.